Got a great show planned for you today. In 1 hour, your Beltway Blitz. We're also giving away tickets to see The Offspring. They're going to be out at Jiffy Lube Live with Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory. So make sure you're listening at 4 for that. Defenders quarterback Jordan Ta'amu. They just got a big win out at Audi Field this weekend. They're going to the playoffs. He'll be in studio with us in 2 hours at 5 o'clock. And the general manager of the Washington Capitals, Chris Patrick, looking ahead to their offseason plans with us. He'll be on the phone at 5:30. So we got a lot going on. But right now we're very, very happy to tell you that in studio with us is an at-large council member here in the nation's capital. Mr. Robert White is with us. Thank you for joining us here in our studio.
I appreciate you all having me. Excited to be here.
Of course.
It's our pleasure. So the news broke that a deal had been struck, that there is the framework for a stadium in Washington, D.C., as a station, as you can imagine. Tons of reaction from fans. We've been trying to get to the bottom of this with a deadline set up for July now to see how this is going to go. And we've talked so far to four different members of the council. You'll make the fifth that has joined us on the show. So I guess let's just start with floors open for you. Your thoughts at this point, would you vote yes for this stadium plan?
So I'm a fan. I'm a lifelong Washington football fan. Born in 82, so I came of age in our glory years. Loved the ascent. Did not love the long descent.
It wasn't as much fun for you?
It was not as much fun as you would think.
Do you have memories then at RFK Stadium?
So I couldn't afford to go. The tickets were expensive. Something still true of football today. I didn't go to my first game until I was probably in college.
Wow.
When someone had pity on me, and like at the end of a losing season, they were like, do you want these tickets? So, but now I'm a dad. I'm hoping I can bring my girls. But watched on TV religiously every Sunday. I was lucky enough to marry a woman who loves football. Unfortunately, she's from New York. So when we're playing the Giants, she's not on my side. Other than that, she's rooting for the home team. But I'm excited. My first reaction on the stadium was excitement. I you know, it's the Washington Commanders. Would love for them to be back home in D.C. But I can't, as a council member, just be a fan. And so I had to dig into the deal. And unfortunately, right now, it's a bad deal for D.C. residents. We will lose a ton of money. But my goal is to improve it so that we can get this done. And I think it's doable. It's just going to take some work.
What has to happen, in your view, to make it to a place where it's acceptable to you?
Yeah, so there are a few things. The Commanders are making a large investment, $2.7 billion. What I remind folks is they're not making a gift. They're making an investment. And I see very clearly how they make their money back. Ticket sales are going to go to them. Revenue from concessions are going to go to the team. Revenue from the parking lot that taxpayers build is going to go to the team. We're going to lease the land for $1 a year. And then the rent from the hotels and restaurants, that's going to the team as well. Nothing really is going to the city. So we're going to spend about $1 billion. We're going to have to take on debt. So you'd start to double that. If we leased out the land, we're talking about $6 to $25 billion over the first 30 years. And so we're putting, D.C. taxpayers are putting a lot in, but we don't get any revenue. So in order for this to be a good deal for D.C., there has to be revenue sharing so that we can actually make that money back. We are making an investment as well, not a gift. And we are upside down financially, the city right now. So we got to make that money back. I want to see apprenticeship opportunities during the construction so we can get D.C. residents working on that. And then one big thing that sends a message, and I've shared this with the team, you got to bring your headquarters to D.C. as well. I couldn't see any team saying we're going to move our team from one state to another, but we're going to leave our headquarters in another place. So certainly want to see the headquarters in D.C. as well.
So the Capitals and currently train in Arlington, but called D.C. home. It's never really been an issue. What do you say to that?
The practice field for the Commanders is in Virginia.
Right.
That will probably remain in Virginia because D.C. just doesn't have a lot of land. So I understand as a practical matter.
So what did you mean by headquarters?
I mean their offices, front office, back office. Those folks should be in D.C., and that's not been a commitment the team has made yet.
Councilmember at large Robert White, kind enough to join us here in studio on Grant and Danny. So I believe, sir, you're a Ward 4 resident?
I am.
So I spent a lot of time in D.C., went to kindergarten through college in the city, and spent a lot of years living in D.C., and I don't know that a ward has changed more than Ward 4, but some of the different neighborhoods and the development, everything from Petworth to Brightwood and everything in between. I'm curious, as that has kind of the changes have happened over the years, how do your residents feel in general? I mean, it's hard to, you know, speak for everybody. Obviously, nobody's got one voice, but how do your residents feel in general about just the team coming back, stadium, and what that might do for them?
Residents are excited, and as an at-large member, I represent an entire city.
Right.
I have the privilege of living in Ward 4 as a child, and now again as an adult, I moved around the city in the middle. But residents, I think most residents want the stadium back. Most residents are counting on us, the elected officials, to make sure it's a good deal for D.C. And I think people are concerned about the idea of D.C. being left holding the bag. So as we are in a revenue deficit, if we put multi-billions of dollars into this in 5 years from now, we're still paying for it, not seeing revenue come into the city. That's a concern for most people. So they're depending on us to make a good deal. And, you know, if we invest in this, that means we're investing less in schools and police stations and building a new jail. And so that's a trade-off that residents are going to need to feel comfortable about. But you got to spend money to make money, but we don't want to spend money to lose money.
Councilmember Robert White at large, D.C. City Council, in studio with us on Grant and Danny, discussing the possibility of RFK 2.0 and the Commanders coming back home to D.C. So the latest polling we've seen is from the Washington Post, 55%, so majority of D.C. residents in favor of about $850 million being spent on this project. The number, obviously, $1.1 billion asked to folks as well. It's actually much higher in the ward where they'd be building the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks that would actually be most inconvenienced by the building of the operation, but also benefit the most immensely from all the things that'll be there, wanted it even a higher rate than that. So when I hear you say it's bad for the city, and then it sounds like you'd be a no right now, I guess my question as someone who doesn't really get politics all that much would be, would you vote against the majority of the people then? I mean, if the majority of D.C., your constituents as an at-large, are saying, hey, at a 60% clip, let's say, yeah, let's do this. And then the people that are right there are going, I don't have a place I like shopping. I'd have one. Mm-hmm. I don't have a place that I could go to this store. We'd have one now. Does that matter?
It does matter. It matters a lot. But residents are counting on me to have a full picture. And so when residents say, yeah, we're comfortable investing $850 million, they're counting on me to know whether or not the actual cost is a lot more. They're counting on me to know whether or not we're going to make more. They're assuming we're not making an $850 million gift, but rather an investment. Right now, as the deal is structured, it is not an investment for DC, it's a gift. So they are counting on us to not get swept away in the excitement, which I'd love to do as a fan, but to rather dig into the details. If you polled the residents around the stadium, probably not a majority of people who want it. The amenities, grocery stores, or what have you, in Ward 7, but not east of the river, which is where we need those grocery stores. And so that's where the responsibility of elected officials comes in. I say put aside politics, right? Like, we don't really need the politics here. A good investment is a good investment. A bad investment is a bad investment. I think what residents are saying pretty clearly, which is the same thing I'm saying, I'm a yes if the deal is good for D.C. And so let's get there.
Totally agree with that. I guess the big question is this a negotiation or is this the deal? And it sounds like you don't like this particular deal, but my question would be, I mean, I drive by that area all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Going to Maryland to go pay my tax dollars as a Virginian in Maryland to go to games, which would now be in D.C. But if it's not the stadium, what is it and how long does that take? I heard the chair of the council suggest it could be several years before anything gets done there if it's not this stadium. So we're just sitting there in perpetuity with this land where maybe it's not as good a deal as you want, but it could do a lot better for D.C. than weeds.
But probably. But think about, what was it, maybe 30 years ago. Do we think that the Washington football team was saying to Landover, hey, we're going to build this stadium and it's going to be desolate around there? No, they were saying it's going to bring in a lot of revenue. It's going to spark all this type of investment, but it's not. And Maryland is not, Prince George's County is not heartbroken about losing the team. So, you know, that's why I have to make sure we're making a sober decision. And because this isn't my background, I've reached out to economists around the nation. And what they have told me is that they've seen no deal as bad as this. And I keep asking economists, can you point me to somebody who can tell me how this is a good deal. I've yet to find that economist. And if that economist is listening now, reach out to me, rwhite@dccouncil.gov. Like, I'm trying to get smart, but I've yet to find an economist locally or nationally who says anything other than this is a really bad deal for DC taxpayers.
Despite the fact that they're paying for three quarters of it, which is pretty unheard of in a split with a city.
That's right. But this is also the second highest public investment in a stadium. And not long ago, SoFi Stadium was built without public investment. But economists have not really been split on whether or not stadiums are a good deal for taxpayers. And so I do see real benefits of having the team come back. I think it's not a slam dunk for D.C. We can make it a win for D.C., but right now it's pretty bad.
Well, sitting in the Navy Yard here, Nats Park's a few blocks away. Gigantic win for this ward, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Now, it's different, right? Maybe that's your point. Baseball, 81 dates. Football, not as many, although the roof gives you an opportunity for more dates.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody could argue. My dad used to work here and be escorted to his car when he was working for the defense with an armed guard 25 years ago or whatever. Now I'm going out to eat at all these restaurants and we're working here because of Nats Park. It's been a gigantic win for this city, that ballpark, as an anchor.
It has. Nats Park is a really great example. It's one that has paid off pretty well, nowhere near the timeline that they said, nowhere near. To look at something more recent, we look at CareFirst Arena in Southeast. If you look at the number of events that were promised before a shovel went in the ground, we're at about half of that right now. If you look at the revenue projections, we're nowhere near those revenue projections. And if you look at other stadiums across the country, very similar thing. I do think Nats Ballpark, which has a lot more events, a lot more games, is a little bit different. The other thing that's different that I would use as an example is Monumental's stadium downtown. That investment made a lot of sense to me because if you look at the revenue they bring in, it's somewhere around like $40 million a year in direct revenue, not even counting the spillover revenue, 1,000 to 2,000 permanent jobs and about 2,000 part-time jobs. That's a clear investment. So when we invested $500 million in that stadium rehab, I can look at the numbers and see how it makes sense. But I have not seen any numbers that show me how this one makes sense. And we want it to make sense.
Councilmember, I hope you have a lot of spare time. I imagine your inbox will be flooded with all the economists that generally listen to Grant and I. We're huge.
You would not believe how many every day community. We're like, can we get a sports fan? Enough economists calling in.
Like, you're exhausting. But process-wise then, okay? So this is part that I'm not exactly clear on. So again, for forgive our ignorance here. What it sounded like to us was, this is all folded into part of the mayor's budget that is going to be submitted to you all, and then there'll be a discussion. This isn't the only discussion with the mayor's budget. The mayor's budget's got a lot of other line
There's
items.
A couple other pages?
Yeah, nothing to do with us and football, the thing that we like. So what's the process like then for amendments, changes, those sorts of things? Walk us through that, please.
Yeah, so the council has not gotten the mayor's budget yet. Usually we would get that at the beginning of April. It's late at this point, but we should get it next week. I imagine, because we're in a deficit, that there will be a lot of cuts. And so when schools are looking at losing funding, when we see less investment in all the things we normally see investment in, and we're saying we've got over $1 billion for a stadium, folks are going to have a little heartburn about that. But, you know, I'm prepared to talk to people. Again, you got to make investments so that we can get out of this deficit. You know, the mayor and the commanders have said they want us to finalize this by July 15th. Now, that's not realistic at this point because it is part of the budget and we haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. I saw again today on, I think it was Channel 9 in D.C., this mention of a July 15th deadline. What does that actually mean? Why is that a deadline? How set in stone is that? How flexible are we to push this thing potentially? Because on the team side, they got to make moves here. I mean, they're trying to open this thing in 2030. So I understand you guys want the perfect deal, but a not a perfect deal stadium or no stadium at all could ultimately be the decision you've got to make.
Right. I don't think we're going to get to a perfect deal. That can't be the measurement. But again, there has to be some conceivable way that the district doesn't lose a lot of money on this. We've got to be careful as we, you know, are knocking on the door of a recession, as we're in a deficit. We've got to be really careful about spending a lot of money and not getting a return on it. But the commanders and the city can... agree to an extension of that July 15th. That was a date that that the mayor and the commanders negotiated without input from the council.
How has the team been in terms of these conversations? Have they been amenable to suggestions? Have they just said, hey, take it or leave it? What have they been like to deal with?
So I've met with the team before we got the deal and setting up a meeting with them. I think I'm meeting with them tomorrow or Thursday of this week. So they've been open to meeting, but I've been asking for revenue projections. The mayor said it's going to be $14 to $15 billion revenue for the city. I asked the mayor for the revenue projections 2 weeks ago. I've asked five, six more times since then. I haven't gotten them.
Maybe the seventh time.
Maybe.
We're joined in studio right now by at-large council member, D.C. City Council, Robert White, kind enough to give us a few minutes on Grant and Danny. So I want to go back to kind of the crux of what it sounds like is your issue, which is you think you guys are going to lose money on this deal.
That's right.
I don't see how that's possible if you have a Super Bowl and if you have a Final Four. The NFL draft's coming here. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. I mean, you may. Do you have any idea how much money you guys would stand to make as a city by having the draft and people from 50 states coming in here?
So the draft is coming next year. There won't be a stadium.
Understood. But a part of why it's coming, I think, is because of the progress of the stadium. But regardless,
it's part of the push for the stadium. And again, I have to remain sober as I look at this. But Super Bowl, how many Super Bowls are we going to host a year?
If you host a decade, one, I mean, economists suggest that's worth over $1 billion by itself, potentially.
I've not seen that. And so we... I don't know how much we would bring in, how much net revenue we'd bring in from hosting a Super Bowl. I don't believe it.
So you don't, and I'm not questioning you, I'm just asking, you don't believe then when people say to me, and I've had many people say, if they get a Super Bowl and a Final Four, that in and of itself could return the city close to the $1.1 billion investment with two events. You don't buy that.
That'd be wonderful, right? Okay. So again, I'm not looking for, I don't think anybody on the council is looking for a perfect investment. We're just looking for an investment that doesn't almost guarantee that we lose a lot of money.
So in other words, I'm not asking to speak for other members of the council, but I'm sure you've had conversations, whether introductory or even in depth. How many would you say, or others that have said, you know what, I actually see the point that you're making, or how many are gung ho? Just kind of where are we at in terms of that? We're just the peons out here. Don't know which way's up.
I think very reasonably, like me, most people don't want to be the face or the voice of somebody raining on the parade, right? I don't either. I'm a big fan, and I want to see the stadium here, but I have a responsibility to look at this deal, and so I think most members are trying to keep their powder dry if they have questions. And so I've heard the chairman of the council with a similar message to mine. You know, he's looking at the numbers and it's not making sense to him yet either.
So we had you undecided before you got here.
Mm-hmm.
So far, based on this conversation, I'm putting you in the yes column. I'm just kidding. I'm putting you in the no column, right? But we have four yeses and they need to get to seven.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, just to reiterate, I guess, do you think they have seven votes that are yeses?
No, but I wouldn't put me, so got some people have me in their yes column, some people have me in their no column.
Everywhere I look is different.
Right.
But having talked to you, you're squarely in the no column on this deal, I would say.
Yes.
Which is the only deal we have.
The vast majority of the council is likely a no on this deal. But I also think that almost all of the council wants to get to a yes. And this isn't like, you know, politicking or like, hey, fund my pet project. This is just make this a good deal for D.C. The district, and this upsets me about the team, as somebody who has been such a big fan, watching what happened to our franchise over the past couple of decades was painful. And I think a lot of decisions that leadership and the team made were bad decisions. I really like what the new owners and management are doing with the team. This is a time to repair those relationships, to get the fan base excited again, not to have a city sort of reluctantly saying, we got a stadium, but we feel like we got taken advantage of. And we got to get past that. So what you see right now is a push for the excitement, not discussions of the deal. And that should make you a little bit nervous.
Our guest in studio with us is at-large council member Robert White on Grant and Danny. July 15th is this tentative deadline for now to try to figure out what's going to happen at the RFK 2.0 site. I want to ask you a question I've asked each council member we've had on, because even though I'm obviously adamantly about this stadium being in D.C., I think it's the best thing for the city, for the team, for all of us as fans. It'd be amazing. I get we're coming at this from different angles. You got a different job. What is a better option for that land in terms of growth, tax revenue and jobs. Like, your point may very well be true. This isn't perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything you guys could put there that's going to do a better job than this stadium at providing those things. Where am I wrong?
We don't know if you're wrong because no one's pursued it. And so some folks would argue, well, it's been 30 years and there are no other options on the table. Well, I used to work on Capitol Hill. So one of the things I know is that the district was coming at the tail end of a previous lease with the federal government. So we couldn't be planning for land that we weren't going to control. This land only became viable within the past few months when we got a 99-year extension on the lease. So right now is when we would be saying to the best minds in the country, give us your best ideas. For FedEx land, they're planning things right now that, as I hear, they're more excited about than the idea of keeping the stadium. So we don't know.
I mean, Wes Moore is following the team around like I follow around my puppy. So I'm not sure if I completely agree with that.
Prince George's County does not seem
heartbroken. They've offered them $500 million to keep the team.
Right.
It's not because they don't want them.
I haven't heard Prince George's County saying that.
Okay, that's fair. And you know more about that than
But all that to say... I don't know what else we would do for this land because we haven't pursued it. But I don't necessarily think we need to right now. We need to figure out how to make this deal work. As we walk into the beginning of a deficit, and you were here, I'm guessing, in the 80s and 90s, right? That was a deficit that lasted a long time. As we walk into a deficit, we have to make sure the deals we make are in the best financial interests of the city. And if this is in the best financial interests of the city, let's do it. If it's not in the best financial interest of the city, let's not just say, well, there's nothing better we can do. Let's just eat it. No, let's make it better.
Is there a drop dead point in terms of, this is a bad hypothetical. I can't deal with any deficit. I can't deal with any loss, or I can deal with some knowing that it's an investment at, kind of given the climate that we're in. Does that make sense? There's a sliding scale there, right? Where you go, and you've already said it, you got to spend to make.
Yeah.
Is there a, we can't spend this much right now, even knowing it might be beneficial down in the future? Or is there a sliding scale as long as you can see the viability and the numbers to go? Like, where does that line go for you?
It's just viability. Mm-hmm. Is there a likely chance? Are we more likely than not to gain revenue and jobs? Right now, almost all of the risk is on the city because all of the revenue is going to the team and to the project. All of the, even taxes are staying there. So nothing's going to the general fund. And that puts all of the risk on the district. And I think we need to share profit and share risk.
Our guest is going to be meeting on this a couple times a month, probably between now and July 15th.
Yes.
Sounds like you guys have met presumably multiple times since this came down. I mean, what are those conversations like? And then how often have you talked to the mayor? The mayor at one point called in just listening to our show and gave a very different story on how great she thinks this is. Yeah. I mean, she's in opposition with you on what this would do for the city. Like, what are your conversations with her been like, if at all?
Well, I met with the mayor, as I said, 2 weeks ago. I told her my concerns. She said we are projecting a $14 billion in revenue. And I said, excellent. Can you send me that projection? And I haven't gotten it. Yeah. You follow up the next day, the day after that, the week after that. It's still coming, apparently. And so we've been talking. And, you know, obviously the mayor's been pursuing this for a long time. I'd like to see her get there. But it can't be at the expense of the city. And I think most residents, as residents understand even the basics of this deal, they get very nervous.
Makes sense. Councilmember, we've already kept you too long. This is so kind of you to stop by and shed some light on things. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
It's awesome that you came in. It's, you know, we've reached out to everybody. And as I say, there's a handful of you guys have been willing to answer questions about it. Haven't heard back from a bunch. So
we got a lot of stiff arms from a lot of people.
Like to talk and answer questions. Those are my kind of guys and ladies. So thank you.
I appreciate it. Good to be with
you. Really appreciate
it. Absolutely. There you go. So that is the latest on what's going on with the stadium.